56 of Drunk on Comics. And I just need to tell you guys, been a little under the weather, went to see my doctor, he told me to watch my drinking, so now I do that in front of the mirror.
Wow.
Now we're starting?
I don't know, I'm waiting for the jokes to start too.
Jokes on you fuckers, I don't have any.
Okay, now that was kind of funny. Hey guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics, this is our weekly podcast where we talk about comics, we talk about conventions, we talk about collecting, we talk about industry news, and
we talk about movies, we talk about video games, we talk about industry news.
Dude, don't forget about collectible figures and figurines.
And collectibles.
And collectibles, and occasionally we talk booze.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's that too.
So, yeah, my name's Derek. With me this week, as always, we have Tony.
Hello.
And we have Kevin.
You mean part-time.
And don't forget Rapist Jim.
Yeah, Jim's not here today, but we'll make fun of him anyway. So,
okay, you got to explain what that's all about.
Although Jim always likes to lean into the mic and be like,
Midnight Jim, with so. My deep voice.
Midnight Jim, is that supposed to be like some sort of take of like Midnight Cowboy?
Well, you know how we used to keep, what, Sideshow
well,
Jim?
Well, he was Jim the Intern, yeah. Or Intern Jim, and then he's
well,
like...
when the fuck has he been on this show lately?
Well, last week?
Yeah.
Last week? Okay.
Yeah.
Join us at the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, before then.
It's
been a while.
It's been a while. Normally, he's here, like, when you're not.
Okay.
You know, because it's like on weeks, like, when you and Matt can't show up, you know.
Yeah.
Then, we kind of have to call.
Is he okay with being, you know, on call like that? And, like,
I don't know if he really has a choice as much. We just tell him you're showing up. And then
cool.
He does.
Yeah, Jim's cool people, man. I hung out with him at the local watering hole a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Which, by the way, I'll give him a shameless plug here. Go to theartofguilt.com. You can download his comic for free now,
and it's pretty damn good. So.
Yeah, it's very good. So go check it out. Like, there's 3 issues up right now. So, let's get it going with
Off the Shelf.
Yeah,
enough with the introductions. Let's just jump into Off the Shelf.
Yeah. Once again, Off the Shelf is brought to you by GrandCon. It is a gaming and comic book convention in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's happening September 20th through the 22nd at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College. Go check them out at grand-con.com.
So, I got their poster in my hand, and... is there going to be old-timey drunken boxing?
I hope so.
Happening here? Because on the cover you have your boxers that you imagine that come from the 20s. You know, you got the Raleigh Fingers style mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the drunken... Well, they don't have... They're not
pugilists. Yeah, they're pugilists.
Pugilists, yeah. But, no, that's why I want to go to this thing.
Well, I'm assuming we get drunk enough, we'll probably start fighting somebody.
Oh, yeah, I forget we're going to be there.
Yeah. So all right, guys, check them out. Who wants to kick it off this week?
I guess I can.
Man, fuck you. I'm going to start.
All right.
We need some enthusiasm in this show. Sorry, man.
I guess I'll start.
No, Tony, I know you're always excited. We have to calm you down before we hit record, actually.
Take all my Ritalin before we start the show.
All right, guys. Okay. So, chicken and waffles, cats and dogs, gum and nuts.
Nuts and gum together at last.
Together at last. Finally, Batman and Superman together.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This has been something I've been looking forward to for a very long, long time. My gosh, how many years has it been? Have these characters been around? What, 60, 70 years?
Well, now, Superman's 75 this year.
My God. So what the hell are these douchebags at DC thinking with their fucking Uncle Scrooge-like money bins of liquid? My God, what took them so long to put these two guys together in the same comic book?
It didn't, just in the New 52. It just took
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they've been together before.
Yeah, there was a long-running Batman-Superman series.
Dude, but this is number one. It's implying that this is the first time ever.
Well, yeah.
So you're saying I'm missing something?
Well, it's the New 52.
Oh, fuck.
There goes Kevin's review.
Oh. And his enthusiasm.
Okay. Might as well just keep on going with my notes now. Well, this is a story arc cross world. Written by Greg Pak. Art by Jay Lee and Ben Oliver. Colors by June Chung and Daniel Brown. Now, a quick note that I found funny, actually, during the do you guys call them credits? Where they list the author's names?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, I thought it was funny, is at the bottom of the page, it says, Superman, created by, and this is kind of a tie-in to, we've mentioned this a bunch of times on the podcast, during our news section.
news and news.
So
there's occasionally a note.
It says at the bottom, Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster by special arrangement with the Jerry Siegel family.
Mm-hmm. It also says Batman created by Bob Kane.
Yeah, but there's no pending lawsuit litigation bullshit yet with that. So that's I thought it was tie-in, a cute tie-in, but interesting. Let's just say that. So all right. In this book, so we have Clark heading to Gotham. Oh, and by the way, we have spoilers in this podcast. I'm going to leave this one spoiler free because it is a number one. It is the first time that these characters have been together ever.
I might not.
Okay. All right. So just hold on tight for 3 minutes. Pause. Read your book. Come back.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have in this book, we have Clark heading into Gotham to meet up with Bruce for an interview at his job at the Daily Star.
Wait, who are those two people?
Really?
Clark and Brucey.
Yeah.
Brucey?
I mean, are you spoiling this for me? Are you telling me that that is Superman and Batman? I cannot believe you just spoiled this comic book for me, Kevin. This is the first issue that they're in together. Haven't read it yet, and now you just told me who they are.
You should have paused.
Write your comic and come back 3 minutes later.
So these characters are meeting for the first time. So I place this around them in like their early mid 20s, just after whatever age you get out of, normal people get out of college.
Hey, I went to school for 6 years.
So they meet for the first time just hanging around Gotham. Later, during a basic breaking and entering intervention, the two alter egos meet up with their very first meetings. So we have two different meetings happening in this book.
So there's two firsts.
Yes. I took it as there was also kind of a small coming out party for Superman in this book too. I mean, first appearance of Superman in this book.
I guess I'm not following.
Okay, well, I think this was like Batman encounters Superman for the very first time, and I think it might even be Superman's first time really making his, saying, "Hey, I'm here, guys."
Well, no, I mean, because he's got, I have not read the other Superman book, or the Action Comics book, or Superman Unchained. Yeah,
but this is supposed to hit, this story is taking place before all this stuff, all the current stuff.
Is it?
I took it as.
I couldn't tell you, you know me in DC, I don't read much.
All right,
so.
Well, let me get through this shitty review, all right. And then we'll discuss.
Okay.
Stop jumping on Kevin's toes.
But he's wearing peep toes.
Peep toes? Is that anything like foot thongs?
Similar. Yeah, we'll discuss later after you get through your shitty review.
So after a shocking skirmish between these two Marvels
I thought this was DC.
I wasn't going to say it because I kept butting in.
The whole podcast is going to be Kevin's review. Will he ever make it to the end?
So, Okay, so there's these two guys, they're having their little duo, and then there's an unknown, mysterious someone that they bump into, and they find themselves in a brand new spot, not in Gotham, because that's where their battle is. They find themselves in a completely different spot on Earth that's significant to one of these characters.
Smallville.
Spoiler alert.
I told you, I'd spoil it.
So, man, okay. Why do I have expectations for anything? I wanted the book to go a particular way and have a nice bow tie at the end. Nope. Fuck with my head. And they give me a great ending. Well, actually, I did want a great ending. You always want a good ending. But the
happy ones. End. Yeah. But
it fucking... God damn it. Let's just say it's a good, damn good thing that my comic book shop does not offer a line of credit.
Really?
Yeah, because, fuck, now I gotta pick up this book. Now I gotta pick up that book. You know, so now I got a lot of books to read.
Yeah, it's a bitch being a fanboy sometimes.
God damn, man, I'm gonna be in the poorhouse. Alright, so I'm hitting the like button for a couple of reasons on this book.
Yeah?
I think this is superb inner dialogue. Clark and Wayne have their own separate internal dialogue. It's a very fascinating read on they're sniffing out each other. You know, they're fucking putting their noses deep into inside each other's assholes.
They're dogging each other out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just Clark and Wayne, but there's also dialogue with Batman and Superman. And I thought
Clark and Wayne, or is it Bruce and Kent?
Dude, you're fucking going nuts with spoilers. Yeah. Shut up. So, okay. So the other thing was the art. Now, honestly, when I first saw pages 1 and 18 were done by Lee and 19 and 25 were done by Oliver, I'm like, okay, so it's going to be good at first and then it's going to be shitty at the second part. I'm like, okay. But this worked. About that halfway point, the story kind of shifted a little bit and the art had to shift along with it. I thought it was a good transition. So this is a good teamwork effort on the art. I'll tip of the cap to Lee. I thought the first 18 pages was crisp and the most original thing I've seen out of a mainstream DC title.
Yeah.
So, bravo. So, Batman Superman number one, Wowie Zowie.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, like, I picked this up because, you know, I was very curious about it.
Oh, review over, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. I gotta say though, like I love Jay Lee's art, and this reminded me a lot of his darker style stuff back in the early '90s when he did a miniseries called Hellshock, which it well worth going back and finding. I mean, I found it in quarter bins and dollar bins multiple times, and just really really cool.
But has he been doing anything? No, I didn't look anything up on him before. Anything else I might recognize him in?
Probably, but I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
Maybe there's the internet can tell me.
Oops. Well, the internet could have before you broke your tablet. Yeah. But
it's all right. It's only a hairline fracture.
Yeah. But no, like, he's done a ton of stuff. He's been consistently working in the industry for a couple decades. But yeah, no, I was happy with it, and I will be picking up a Superman title for the first time ever.
You mean another one?
This is the only Superman I'm reading.
Oh, see, you already picked up number one.
Right.
Oh, you're going
to
be...
I'm going to pick up number two. Yeah, okay. I'll continue to read this. All right,
but...
Only because it has Batman in it.
Actually, you know, I was more interested in the Superman part of it than the Batman part. But, you know, it's... The only thing that I would say is maybe kind of a complaint. It took me a little bit to figure out who was talking on that inner monologue part.
Oh.
You know, I mean, they use different shaded boxes and stuff like that.
But Clark Kent sounds so like this, where Batman's like this, I'm Batman. How could you not tell?
Clark Kent sounds like Midnight Jim when he grows up. All right, cool. Tony, you want to take the next one?
Yep, I picked up this company called New 52, I believe is
who they are because it's all over their books. So whatever publishing company that is. I got Larfleeze number one. Did you pick that up, Kevin?
My local comic book shop did not have that available for purchase.
Oh, that sucks. It was a pretty good title.
Yeah.
Dude, you really have to start just driving across town and go to
a real comic book shop.
You can't even call that place a comic book shop.
What are you talking
it's
about?
It's a flea market that has comic books.
Yeah, and used books and stacks of things.
Anyways, I have to say, out of all of Geoff Johns' run on Green Lanterns and all things Lanterns, I feel like Larfleeze is one of the, I don't know, better characters that have been created within that mythos. Him being the sole guardian of avarice, which is selfishness. He doesn't want to share the power with anyone, so he is his own corpse of one.
Corp.
Damn it. I knew I was going to say that, too.
And that one should have been easy, too, because when there's just one...
His own Corman.
So, wait. So it's just him?
Yeah. He is the...
Were there other Orange Lanterns?
There are, and there have been at times when they have others. You remember in the Rise of the Green Lantern or whatever, when Kyle became the White Ranger... And yeah. He had to go and learn all the different spells and voodoos and different colors.
He learned how to touch himself.
Yes. And Larfleeze didn't want to help him, didn't want to show him how to tap into the Orange Lantern, but he did. Okay. So he there has been other Orange Lanterns, but pretty much he is.
Well, I guess I would have to go back. I was just thinking about Green Lantern 21, I thought. 20. There was I thought the Orange Lanterns...
Yes, and there have been...
They came in, like, we're gonna steal everything!
There have been. But, he, though, right now, as far as I know, is the only one.
Okay.
I think he took away all their powers. That's one thing, getting into this book, that I don't know all of the backstory. This kind of gave me a main backstory of who he is and where he came from. And this book is very humorous. It's very wordy, to say the least, which, of course... When Larfleeze is trying to tell his story to this butler-type person, the butler's like, I already know this, but
Larfleeze... Alfred?
That might be his name, yes. I'm not sure.
It's like an intergalactic Alfred.
Mm-hmm. But Larfleeze really likes to hear his own voice. Getting into within the first three pages shows him telling the story of how perfect his childhood is, but when you as the reader are seeing these panels and seeing what is really being said, not what he's telling to his butler, you kind of get the opposite reaction when he's like, my parents love me, but while they were walking through these cornfields, he just pops on out.
Falls out of his mom's
uterus.
Yeah.
Baby maker. And how they loved him to death when he was born. Except for in the panels when they're saying, well, you shut that baby up while it's just getting dragged by the umbilical cord. There's a lot of sick humor like that in this book, which is why I think I really enjoyed it a lot. A lot of the what he's trying to say his life was compared to what it really was, which was super shitty. His brothers really loved him and played with him, a.k.a. they're kicking the shit out of him. makes you kind of also feel for this character and where he came from and why he's so selfish and who he is. Ultimately, it gets to where he finds the Orange Lantern, and instead of having some of the other people that were on the expedition to find it, he pretty much kills them all because he wants it all to himself. To make this quick and short and sweet, we have this giant space dog that comes out, and through this whole time, this butler keeps telling Larfleeze, do you know what time it is? We only have so much time left, because you know how they have to recharge their rings and the mm-hmm. power batteries. We only have so much time before you need to recharge it. And pretty much what you kind of find out, it's way past the 15-minute mark that he's been talking, and they're still safe at the edge of the universe right before this hellhound comes out of nowhere. And they come to the discovery of, you're so selfish, you're so into your possessions, you're your own power battery.
Oh, that's kind of a cool twist.
Yeah, so I was like, that's kind of cool as well. So he doesn't have to recharge. All he has to do is just think selfish thoughts, and he can fly. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Ultimately, I'm going to check this up. There's a lot of stuff in here that I'd like to get a little more backstory with. There's this giant creature, the Lord of the Hunt, who comes out of nowhere after Larfleeze kills his other space dog. And so it looks like there's going to be a battle at the end. I'm going to keep reading it, mainly because it made me laugh. There are books that are funny. There are books that are, you know, more interesting in story. This one is definitely one of the funny ones. And I'll let you borrow that, Kevin, since your shop doesn't.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I just, when I heard the name, what you talked about Larfleeze like a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the cover, I'm like, wait, so Larfleeze is this dog kind of guy? And all I could think of was dogs have fleas. And that was it. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're reading it because, I mean, I'm interested, but I'm not interested enough for me to pick it up.
Okay, so, you guys can just mooch off me, now, like you always do.
You yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how that shit rolls.
Yeah. What do you got?
I don't have a present for you today.
Damn.
Which actually, I do have a present for you because I mooch off you. So, yeah, out in my truck, which I will bring in. Tony, you have the new Galactus bottle opener.
Wee!
Yeah, so
that's my glee voice.
That's terrible. People just turned us off right there. Yeah. Okay, this week I have Journey number 3 from Aspen Comics.
Don't stop believing.
Different kind of Journey, Kevin.
Oh.
Different kind.
No, yeah. This is going to be a fucking Journey of the Mind.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
No, different kind of Journey. It's more like Boston, really.
It's been such a long time.
Yeah. So anyway, Journey, J-I-R-N-I, Journey.
I don't really know how to spell Journey the normal way, so...
Yeah, okay. written by J.T. Krule, pencils by Paolo Pantolina, colors by Brett Smith, Beth Sotelo, and Wes Hartman, and letters by Josh Reed. This is, like I said, from Aspen Comics. Now, I talked about this book before issue 1 came out. We got a preview copy of it and did a spoiler-free review of it. And Tony and I, before that, had the pleasure of interviewing J.T., talking to him a little bit about this and some other stuff. And I gotta say that this book, 3 issues in at least, has lived up to all the hype and more. Basically from what it said, like in the back of the first issue, is that, and I'll kind of bring it up again, this truly is like a Dungeons and Dragons, Conan the Barbarian, Frank Frazetta fantasy mashup heaven going on here. The book centers on this girl named Ara, who is gifted with these superhuman type powers. I mean, she's just super strong, basically. She can't fly or anything like that, but super strong. I don't know if she's impervious to things yet, but that's all thanks to this bracelet that her mother gave her as a child. Now, this issue follows Ara along with the girl Nylise, who she rescued back in issue 1 while her dad was getting skinned alive by these cannibal people. And you also see in this book Ara's mother, who has been kidnapped by a guy by the name of Torrenthal. And he kidnapped her years and years ago, took her from Ara's father, and killed her father, I believe, at the same time. Now, Torrenthal possesses a djinn, or a genie, for a more generic term, and he treats that djinn like a slave to gain more power and riches throughout this. You find out that years earlier, this djinn had a different master, named Warwick. And Warwick, while the djinn did all of Warwick's bidding, he treated the djinn more like a blessing and a gift and showed respect to the djinn, whereas Torrenthal treats this djinn like a slave and forces him to do things that he doesn't want to do.
The only thing I keep thinking is Warwick Davis.
Yeah. No, well, and luckily it's spelled differently. It's W-A-R-W-Y-K.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tricked me there.
Yeah, it's tricky. Now, the book comes to its peak with a huge battle at the end between Ara and the djinn. And, even though you learn that the djinn doesn't want to fight, but he's bound to the wishes of Torrenthal, his master. Big cliffhanger at the end, of course, and this book just continues to amaze me. I got to take a minute to point out the art by Pantolina. His style art has some elements of what I've often referred to, or often heard referred to as cheesecake, but it's not done in a gratuitous way where it's just, overly sexual, like a lot of the other artists do. And, I mean, you can tell he loves the female form, but it's clearly an appreciation of it, and he does a really nice job conveying that. More so, he puts in a ton.
You have something to show me?
I do. Ooh. I do in a second.
All right.
he puts an amazing amount of detail into every single panel. I mean, the man is, well, he's basically like a wizard that could live in this world that they've created. The writing by Krull is probably the best he's ever done to this point. And, I mean, you guys know that I've been a big fan of his work for a long time. I mean, the words really do just flow through your head like they're your own thoughts. And you add in the coloring from Smith and the rest of the crew, you add in the lettering, and I don't know if there's a better book on the stands right now. So, Aspen, good job. You found yourself another powerhouse creative team on this book, and Journey is pretty much the single book that I'm looking to most every month reading now. So, two massive mugs up on that. But, yeah, so you can kind of flip through on that and see what you think.
Yeah, I want to see what Cheesecake looks like.
Well...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll find a good example here.
Alright.
Yeah. There you go. You know, I mean, it's more of the lady lumps.
Those are like some whole baked goods.
But yeah, I mean, that book has been great. I really recommend people go out and pick
it up. I can't. This is interesting because I can't even think the last time a djinn or genie, whatever you like to call them, has been actually used in a story.
There was
of course you gotta remember what I know about comic books is a very small fraction of what you guys know. So I mean, this could be, you know, there's gonna be like 7 reoccurring books using genies.
Yeah. So no, That's pretty much it. But I mean, like, Kevin, just take a peek at, I mean, the amount of detail that he puts into the backgrounds of those panels. It is really, really amazing. And actually, you can follow him on Facebook, and he posts his pencils on there, and you see the detail that he puts into every single page. I mean, I want to own some of this original art. It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do some news and notes.
Do we want to do some news and notes, or do we want to do a long distance dedication from your brother?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that fucker.
Yeah,
a request and dedication?
No, a long distance dedication.
Oh, same thing. You guys remember requests and dedications from Casey Kasem's Top 40?
That's what the long distance dedication was.
Oh, I thought. Well, okay, let's give him out one.
So we have Matt on satellite. Hi guys, how's it going?
Fairly.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm Matt, and...
Why did your voice become like a little girl when you became your brother?
What are you talking about?
Alright, so read Matt's love letter.
Okay, so as most listeners know, my brother can't always be here because he actually has a family, and...
He just hates us.
That too. Well, he usually comes on weekends that Kevin's not here, so maybe he's trying to...
Yeah. Awkward.
All right, but Matt was very thrilled with this book, Age of Ultron, Book 10, AI. I was saying weird numbering system there, that he wrote up a review for it that he really wanted me to read. So without further ado, Matt's review. This book, story by Mark Waid, pencils by, God, I'm going to fuck up on names just like him, Andre Lima.
Is that in the review?
Yes, I'm reading this word for word. He knew I was going to fuck up right there. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, don't fuck up, man.
Colors by Frank DiAmarta. This is a touching character piece about Hank Pym. More in a few minutes. Now, I really hated Hank Pym when he was a dick and beat Janet, particularly the ultimate version of the character who was a real tool. But I started liking him a lot during his run of the Mighty Avengers, with Quicksilver, Hercules, Amadeus Cho, and more. Which took place during the Dark Reign series.
Hold on one second. I'm imagining the Casey Kasem thing going on with the My Heart Will Go On slowly creeping into the background.
Anywho, which he does write anywho. And actually, right after Dark Reign, there's a dot, dot, dot. So he knew you were going to interrupt right there.
I've got it right here in front of me, so I know when to properly interrupt.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought I was the only one that had.
No, he said it to all of us, including Kevin, so he doesn't hate you that much.
Anywho, in it, Pym uses trademark particles and somehow went outside of Eternity and had a conversation with the cosmic entity known as Eternity. There he was dubbed the Scientist Supreme of our universe, because while Reed Richards and Tony Stark might be smarter, Pym does science for science's sake and makes cool, magical things happen. So that's when I thought of giving this character another chance. Hank Pym has been in the shadows in recent comics, but now he is getting another chance at being an important hero, which brings us back to this week's book. Great backstory about him being depressed over creating and destroying Ultron, tied in with an I can't say that word.
Oh, wait, I stopped listening. Empathetic?
Yes, empathetic backstory of a kid who's grown up trying to bridge the gap between practical real-world ideas that his parents want him to focus on and the fantasy world where everything is possible and that his grandma inspired in him. When his grandma dies, he's left pursuing the right, responsible paths in life. But then when he has a breakthrough to be a superhero, suddenly his world gets magical again. It goes on to show how Pym gets out of his self-loathing funk and finds new inspiration for life. It was a positive story, well-written, worth picking up. And while I complain about the number of Avenger titles I already currently picking up,
I'm interrupting that.
He does to me sometimes. He's like, I have, like, all these books that I have to buy, and...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never heard him complain about having to buy Avengers.
Oh, no, he still enjoys them. He just hates that there's that many Avengers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think now he's got 10 different Avengers titles with it in the name. But he's very excited to keep picking up Avengers AI. So thank you, Marvel, the House of Ideas, and for this excellent story. And listeners, keep your head in the clouds. And in parentheses, he says, shout out to an elegant weapon. You can keep your heads in a different kind of cloud. Cheers, Matt. P.S. Tony is the coolest motherfucker around, and I owe him $100. It says it right there.
So. It does. I've got it in my copy.
And now that it's on the internet, it's true.
It's true. P.S. Of that 100, Tony needs to give Matt and Kevin 30 each.
Okay, wait. I like how you just said Matt and Kevin. You didn't say Derek and Kevin. So Matt's giving me... You just fucked that up.
Oh, no, there's a typo in that. Oh, wait, no, there's the postscript on the postscript.
No, hey, I heard my name, so... sweet.
I can't believe you fucked that up.
Well, come on, dude. I mean, how many brain cells have I killed already today, let alone this whole weekend?
All right, well, I forgot about Matt's love letter to Hank Pym, so now that we've read that off...
It kind of felt a little bit like a eulogy with him not being here.
Now let's do some news and notes.
I'm going to say about Age of Ultron 10. Meh. I mean, that was pretty cool.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, that was last week. I thought you had the 10 AI.
Oh, there's a 10 AI?
That's the one that Matt was...
Oh.
Doing his long
distance. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, you guys have to battle, Kevin.
See, you guys don't listen to the podcast when you're not here.
You need to get with the times.
Okay. Big industry news this week is that Boom Studios acquired Arkea. So that was kind of a really cool thing. I mean, Boom is one of my favorite independent publishers. Arkea puts out some amazing stuff. So you put those two together, and I think that's going to be a pretty awesome thing. There was some stuff that I was reading that with the number of licensed characters that each one of those studios has, that puts them more on par with the big two, you know, or the big two and Image than it does any of the other independent publishers out there. So I think it's going to be a great thing for them, and I'm excited to see how it's going. And the other cool thing that I heard is that as they acquire, it doesn't sound like anybody's losing a job either. You know, it's more like a, you know, a team up, if you will.
Well, it'd be cool to see cool crossovers,
but there won't be anyone that will particularly care about losing their job, but there'll be back-end people losing their jobs, you know.
Why do you have to be so depressing?
You say there are no job layoffs. That's just what happens in acquisitions and mergers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it might be more like who they go to actually print the books.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
I'm assuming, but
yeah, but you know what? It's a win-win for the
fans,
for the people who are keeping them in business.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So, Tony, what did you have in your news?
Well, one of the things that I was musing over the internet and saw up on Twitter. So we've already established they're going to be making a Man of Steel 2. They are really gung-ho on trying to get it set for next year, but
set for filming next year?
No, to release next year. If you were here last week, Kevin, you would know all this. You were behind the times.
Well, gosh, I'm glad I wasn't here, because yep. that's the most stupidest thing I ever heard of.
They're going to be chucking these movies out like Slurpees out the window going down the highway.
They're just going to take this issue of Lafleur and cut out action figures of Superman, put them on strings, and fly them around the screen. That's how the movie's going to turn out.
No, what it'll probably be is it'll probably end up being like Kill Bill Volume 2. Where the first half hour of the movie is a recap of the first movie, so they already got a third of the movie shot. Oh, it's okay. Done. Well. Yeah.
But what I want to say is Smallville's Michael Rosenbaum wants to be Lex Luthor, which I am totally behind on getting this grassroots thing started. I think he, out of recent memory, is one of the best Luthers that's ever been. He's very cold, dark, but he also has kind of got that genuine side to him.
He was fantastic in Smallville. I really loved him.
I mean, there's some other names going around. Was it Bryan Cranston, the guy who Malcolm in the Middle and is Breaking Bad.
Oh,
which?
Yeah, no.
But he's a name that's been kind of in the talks of this as well. I'd rather have Rosenbaum do it than that. So
yeah. They're gonna say, hey, give Frankie Muniz a shout at it.
And speaking of people playing bad guys in movies, William Fichtner is cast to be the Shredder in Michael Bay's Let's Fuck Up Your Childhood, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's continuing.
Yes.
Yeah.
After there's that talk of that random script out there, which has been so many people on the writer's team have said, it's not true. And one of the big things was, instead of, Shredder, it was Colonel Schrader. And how the Foot Clan were more a militaristic type, SEAL Team 6 type group instead of ninjas. And a lot of that just sounded like there's no effing way that could be, part of the mythos of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Well, now you're casting a white guy who has played mainly military men in all of his movies as Shredder. Maybe that script isn't so full of lies as we may have thought.
No, as you hoped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other terrible things is that Hallmark is making more superhero keepsake ornaments. So if you need that Man of Steel flying ornament for your tree this year, there you go. And
Superman holding up the Hanukkah, the menorah. He's holding up the whole holiday.
Yeah, I'm more looking for the Batman holding Christmas.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, reading through our notes, and I'm like, man, good for Hallmark, good for them, because. Well, they got to come up with some plan to keep their stores open because, the old crotchety people that go there, I mean, they're dying.
Well, yeah, but they're being replaced by other old crotchety people.
Yeah, but they're hip old crotchety people that don't want to go to Walmart.
I just had a terrible vision that, in 40 years, you're going to see, old people wearing low-rider skinny jeans.
Well, one thing I have a question for, so it's almost 4th of July. Does that mean that right after 4th of July we're going to start selling Christmas ornaments now?
No.
I mean, because it's almost Christmas season to start shopping. I mean,
well, no.
Start seeing those commercials.
In 10 years, yes. You first got to get to, once we hit Labor Day.
It's going to be Christmas to Easter, and then it's going to be Easter to Christmas. It's
well, actually, season. You think about it, once 4th of July is done and there's no more fireworks, I wouldn't be surprised you start seeing the fucking Halloween shit coming out.
That's true, too, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to happen. They're constantly trying to get their inventory in on time. They don't want to sit on, because they're buying it by the container full from China. You know, they don't want to sit on that overhead.
I remember 2 years ago, this is totally off topic. See, here's where we get into notes.
Okay. I got my number two pencil ready.
2 years ago, I went into, it was a last minute thing. I got invited to a costume party that I hadn't planned on having a costume.
Did you go as Grey Ghost?
No. I went as Grey Poupon. But, no, I walk into, a normal kind of big box store that has all this stuff. It's 2 days before Halloween. It's all down just to one rack, and they're already putting the Christmas shit out. It's not even the day after Halloween. I'm like, fuck you people. But anyway, that's my
thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I have another note.
Okay,
that I want to share.
What's your note?
Did you just get a new note from your brother?
Yes.
To revise the last statement?
Yeah.
It's $200.
No, one of the things that we talked about last week when we talked about the Age of Ultron Book 10 and the repercussions from that whole time-shattering glass type continuum that they've done. You got to think about it. Now there's two Wolverines in this world.
Oh, there are?
There's the Wolverine that has always been in this world, and there's the Wolverine that time-traveled from the past that has the memories of Age of Ultron.
I thought they... Didn't somebody kill that one?
They killed a Wolverine in the past... But there's still a Wolverine in this present that has been going on with the X-Men and all them, right?
Okay.
There's still that Wolverine, and now they transported another Wolverine into this world. Yeah. Angela vowed that she's going to kill whoever brought her there, which Wolverine fucked up the time screen. Is this going to go into when we keep hearing about Wolverine's going to die?
Oh, good call.
Is Angela going to be the one to kill him? Does she have the power to kill him? And then... If there's two Wolverines, does it really matter if Wolverine A or Wolverine B dies?
Yes. She has the ability to kill him, because she also travels with a big floating head.
Yeah. Yeah, well...
So, that's just something that I was thinking of, and the internets are talking about.
That's kind of an interesting thing. Marvel has the new animated Agents of Smash cartoon coming out August 11th on Disney XD. And if I remember correctly, they had a free comic book day comic of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of exciting to see.
That's cool. Now, I was reading this lineup, and noticed a Scar is going to be in it.
Yeah, I'm not...
Now, do they acknowledge that there's a big age difference between the two?
Who?
Scar. Son of Hulk.
Like Simba? Oh. Different Scar.
Yeah.
Who's got a scar?
Although, I gotta say, I'm kind of interested, though, in some of the voice actors, too, though, because She-Hulk is Eliza Dushku, A-Bomb is Seth Green, and Red Hulk is Clancy Brown, which, you know who Clancy Brown is?
No.
He was the guy in Lost that was in the...
In the underwater spike?
No, in the pit or like. What the fuck did you call that thing?
At the beginning. Season one, season two.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, when they dig up, that thing and they lift the lid off and he's down in there.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the guy. In the hatch. He was the guy that was originally there with Desmond.
Okay.
So, yeah. But anyway. That just ruined everything.
That thing and that person and the here and the what's and the why's.
Now, would you have hit that button? Would you have stopped hitting that button?
I probably would, because I would have to get more sleep than, just being able to only go for like an hour and something.
I'd say I'd just go to the other side of the island, and if something bad happens, at least I'm not on the island anymore.
I'd be like, oh, well, All right, other things that I'm terrible at is, agreeing with people putting clothes on their dogs, but it didn't stop PetSmart from partnering up with Marvel and DC to make superhero clothes for their fucking dogs.
Yeah, you know, and God, I was actually kind of interested. You sent me the link for this, and I punched it up, thinking like, "Oh, cool, man! I'm gonna see a cool little puppy in Captain America get up, or and he's got like a shield strapped to his back."
No, they're dog t-shirts.
It's just t-shirts. But what the fuck? I mean, we just go to Target, get something off clearance, and then just cut a couple more holes in it and put that in on your dog.
Jesus. No, actually, you should not put clothes on a dog. They're born with clothes. It's called hair. But
how else am I going to be able to tell other people of my dog's love for comic books?
I bet you they like The Walking Dead and stuff more because they can't see the colors anyway. So. okay. This actually will give another shout out to our brothers up north in Canada, Elegant Weapon Guys, because now they and the rest of their countrymen are finally going to be able to start doing Kickstarter projects. So I'm assuming that there's going to be some massive maple syrup Kickstarter programs coming up here this summer.
Yeah. I don't know if you're joking or not.
Maybe.
So.
Yeah. Sometimes we need to have a laugh track just to know if we're supposed to laugh or not after you talk.
Oh, like your intro. Oh, it's rough in here today.
is this thing on? Is this thing on? Mike, check one.
Hey, you get no respect. Mattel is in a fight with a comic book author over who owns the right to He-Man. So,
Masters of the Universe, He-Man?
Yes, Masters of the Universe.
You mean the movie?
Well, and actually, that's part of it. But, you know, normally, I'm on the side of the artists and writers, but in this case, I think I'm siding with Mattel. I mean, because the guy, the writer, actually said in an interview back in 2001 that he was only paid flat rate work for hire fees, and then he went on to say, my work on Masters of the Universe taught me one basic lesson. Don't create anything original, especially concepts that someone else will make millions of dollars from, unless you have a percentage of the profits or part ownership. It's a lesson I managed to stick to since my days with He-Man and the gang. So, you know, I think this might be more of a frivolous lawsuit. I don't know. That's opinion, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's just gonna get out-lawyered. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say,
even if he does have a case.
Not even out-lawyered, but a lot of those TV shows that we grew up on were made to sell the toys, and the toys...
Exactly.
You know, so the toy maker, I think, owns most all those rights. Like, Hasbro, yeah, owns, or in Tanaka, I don't know, owns Transformers, but IDW has the publishing rights to them, and this and that, and yeah, I think that I'm on the toy people's side.
Yeah, in this case. Just want to give a quick shout-out here to Joe Pruitt and his family. It was reported earlier in the week that he went into the hospital following an apparent stroke. So for those that aren't familiar with Joe, he did a book called Negative Burn, I think, which came out of Caliber Press back in the 90s, also did a bunch of issues of X-Men Unlimited and Cable as well, and has been working in there. So, you know, best of luck. Please get well soon, and we wish you the best on that. Last thing I have is probably not really news, but it's cool. I'm going to throw a link to this up on our website. There's a Sentinel from X-Men stained glass window, and I want that. It's badass.
I saw the picture. Did it say how big it was?
It doesn't, actually.
Sentinel size. So in order for you to actually put that in a window, you need to own a mansion and have the whole...
Or the Trump Tower, the whole front of it would just be... That would be fucking sweet.
Now, I want to know, someone went up to Mr. Stained Glass guy and goes, I want this. The guy looks at it and all right, whatever, chump. <Yeah. laughs> You're paying me.
Yeah, probably. So that's everything I got. Did you guys have any others?
No, that's kind of it. It's
dude, this is gonna be my new. This is gonna be my new Facebook thingy.
Your Facebook thingy?
Yeah, whatever.
Your avatar?
Your picture?
No, that other thing. You know, that profile thingy.
The profile picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, like your avatar?
No, sometimes, I think it's something else.
All right. Tony, why don't you cruise on down the Indy Turnpike for us?
Okay. Crash. I picked up Unwritten number 50. With this being a 50th issue, the guys at Unwritten decided to go about and doing a major crossover event with the guys from Fables. Unwritten is created by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. I've loved Mike Carey's work already. And Fables is created by Bill Willingham, which I love Fables. So getting into this, I didn't have too much of a clue what Unwritten was. And I was really afraid of being lost in this story arc, not knowing that stuff. But it kind of, the first page really gets you up to date on what's going on so far with the Unwritten. And really, this is how you do a crossover write. There's character development from both sides. It lets the reader of each series find out a little bit of what's going on in the other series. And it really is tells a story. Unwritten is about Tom Taylor, whose father wrote stories of this boy wizard of the same name, which you may or may not know comes out to actually be Tom Taylor's real childhood. He is that boy wizard, almost like a Harry Potter-esque type person. And so the Unwritten universe is about him finding out that stories are actually written about real people put into words, and somehow they have that other side to manifest and become that. He is on a path to try to find this thing called the Leviathan, which pretty much feeds off stories and is not a bad Leviathan, but somehow is part of the unconscious for humanity. So that's kind of the Unwritten side, and that's so much I don't know. Fables is what I do know, and it's about characters given life through the magic of story. Fable characters, they all have their own, you know, thousands of worlds that they each inhabit. You read Snow White, they may kind of inhabit a different story in the same realm, just like anything. Arabian Nights and Aladdin, they have their own worlds, but they're all interconnected. And a lot of it comes all the way back to our world, the real world. And these fables have crossed over the past from devastation from the Emperor and everything else to take asylum here on Earth. But they also have their magic. They are the creatures of story tales. So these are two different worlds that are perfect for a crossover. And it's a very interesting way that they're taking place with this story. It's nowhere near the present within, at least as far as Fables goes. Reading Unwritten, and if I had read it, this jumps right off of the last story arc. When it goes into Fables, this set is set about 2 years ago in a story arc that I've already previously read. So in a sense, I already know kind of what's going to happen, but it's great to see this other side of this overall story arc that I read in Fables happen. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but where a lot of times you'll have, like, huge crossover events, and then some shit's happening in this book, some stuff's happening in this book, and it really doesn't give you a whole different perspective on it. It's kind of like, I'm battling some Avengers over here, and I'm battling some X-Men over here. This really does seem to take place where, although I know who Mr. Dark is when he took over Fable Town and everything, this is getting into that side story and how they somehow had Tommy Taylor get transported into this world.
Hey, Tony, I've got a question for you. As somebody who's never, like, I tried to read a couple issues of Fables, and I jumped in, and it was really confusing. I read about four or five, and I didn't. If I haven't read Fables, if I haven't read Unwritten, how good of a spot is this to jump in?
This is actually a very good spot to jump in as far as a book. You may not know who all these characters are right away, but as I said, the way that they wrote this is for pretty much the average person who may not have ever read any of these.
Okay.
To get to understand at least who some of these main characters are. And you may just looking at them or hearing them, Ozma, she's from The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. She's one of the witches that, reading fables, you would know who it is. You as a reader will jump in and say, okay, I kind of get what's going on. It does a really good job of setting this place. And like I said, already knowing where this story takes place within the time frame of fables, for me, it's a lot better. For you, you don't need to know what's going on in the main story world of that. This is a separate story that, like I said, ties into the main place. You actually would actually understand what's going on.
Okay.
But for, like I said, the people who have read both these series, they are a long series. I think Fables is at 130 now. Obviously, something Unwritten like that, yeah. is on number 50. So these are well-established story arcs that it's just the writing's very, really, really good on both these books, especially when there's independent published or not independent publishers, but any type books where the writers have full control. They can do whatever they want, and the stories don't reset themselves like a Flashpoint or a Marvel Now. They keep going.
Is this a Vertigo book?
Yes.
Okay, and is Fables also a Vertigo? Yep. Okay. I didn't know if there was like a cross-publisher thing going on.
No, and these two have both, when Unwritten came about, Mike Carey, loved what Bill was doing on Fables, and they talked about wanting to somehow incorporate it, so now was the great stepping point to kind of have the Tommy Taylor be summoned into the Fables world, especially after the last story arc where cliffhanger, he jumps through a portal. Well, what better time to have him jump through a portal into the Fables world than having him jump through a portal? So, all in all, I think that this is a really good book. If you're an Unwritten fan, you'll really enjoy seeing the characters of the Fables mythos. For Fables fans, you will really like this side quest, as well as possibly getting into the world of Unwritten. So,
cool. I might actually... Well, I probably will sit and read that before I leave and then decide if I'm going to jump on.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely enjoy it.
Awesome. One little note that Indie Turnpike, once again, brought to you this week by Intercomics. It's inter-comics.com. Online comic book retailer, located in the UK, but they do ship worldwide. And awesome prices, awesome blogs. And go check them out. Give them some love and give them some money. So, not quite last. We have we got some covers to discuss.
Yeah,
Best on Tap.
Yeah, Best on Tap this week is Uncanny by Andy Diggle. The cover is by Jock. That's his name, Jock.
Yep.
Very very cool looking cover. Kind of James Bondish. Just the main character on the cover with the gun, while what looks like smoke or whatever is going on in the background.
So is it Wolverine on the cover? Uncanny X-Men?
No, it's just Uncanny.
Oh. So it's Thor for Uncanny Avengers?
No, it's a separate Uncanny.
Oh, okay. Oh. So it's Psylocke for Uncanny X-Force?
I don't think Marvel owns the right to Uncanny, even though it does seem like every other title is Uncanny.
So it's just called Uncanny?
It's just Uncanny, Uncanny.
Then why isn't it a blank cover?
This is Uncanny, Untitled Name.
Oh, that Uncanny. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Single Uncanny. But like I said, really it's a lot of white, which I guess when normally we're picking these, we like that little minimalistic approach to drawing. But I think the biggest thing is seeing the cover kind of being shredded with that mysterious smoke there. Obviously, this whole first story arc is Season of Hungry Ghosts, so that's kind of the sense that you get from seeing this cover. So,
And if any of you picked up that book or you picked up another book and you go, man, that cover is gorgeous, I want to hang that on my wall, best way to do it, Comic Book Displays. Check them out, comicbookdisplays.com. We've got ours. We got to order some more, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, because they are pretty damn awesome. They've got them for graded covers. They've got them for ungraded. They have for original art and stuff, too. But yeah, and we'll post the picture of that cover up with our podcast when we do that this week. I got booze and a book left. Is there anything else we're missing?
Nope. I got another text from Matt saying I now owe you guys all $1,000 each.
Sweet.
So, really? What? Why
not? He just feels bad that he can't be here, so he just, Uncle Moneybags there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry about your kid not making it to college, but I'll take the money. Kid's going to have to start getting a job, quit being a freeloader. I mean, shoot, he's already won. Still hasn't even started working. But, all right, booze in a book this week. I have X-Men number 2 from Marvel, written by Brian Wood, art by Olivier Coipel. And I'm pairing this with a Rubaeus from Founders Brewery, which is a true raspberry ale with a 5.7 ABV. Now, I'm putting these two together because they're both much sweeter than what you're used to from either of these companies. And I don't want to suggest that there isn't a little sourness to each, or that there, you know, that there isn't quite a bit of tartness, or that there isn't a lot of power behind all these, because there really is in both the beer and the book. I will say they come dangerously close to being far too sweet for me to be able to handle more than one at a time. So they're both a lot of fun, but I'd recommend some moderation, or at the very least, maybe they just need to be a little bit better balanced for my liking. But they are both tasty. So I'll leave it at that.
That was an uncanny review. Just start using that word in my everyday sentences now.
Kind of like Paramount. Remember that one from the Bush Gore?
Oh yeah.
Thing. No one used the word Paramount until that Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah.
Which basically decided the election.
Which that's just inconceivable.
Astonishing.
Inconceivable. Last call. Did you guys have anything else you read this week that you want to give a quick shout out to?
God, I read a lot of stuff. Uncanny X-Force, Uncanny X-Men. A lot of Uncanny.
Yeah, actually there was a lot of X-Men for me. Before I get to that, Jupiter's Legacy number 2 was cool. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number 3, I'm still picking up and still enjoying on that. Doctor Who Prisoners of Time, I'm slowly and surely catching on. Avengers Arena was probably one of the best issues that they've had on this book. Yeah, Uncanny X-Force, Uncanny X-Men.
Are they still dying?
Yeah, they're still dying. All New X-Men was actually pretty cool. And Daredevil, of course. You know, can't go a week without talking a little DD. Actually, this was one, and the only reason I didn't bring it up is because I talked Daredevil so much. This was one that I really liked for cover, the best cover. For Best on Tap.
Yeah, why didn't you mention that one?
Yeah, because I talked Daredevil too much. I wanted to showcase something else.
Yeah, because you wanted to talk about it now.
Yeah. Lazarus, the new Greg Rucka, or is it Greg Rucka? No.
Yeah, Rucka.
Yeah. Now I'm questioning if that's his first name, but I think it is Greg. The new book from him came out. Interesting. I'll check out number 2. And The Wake, number 2 of, I think, 10 or 12 of 10. Came out, and that was awesome. That's really cool. So, Kevin, did you have anything else, or did your comic book store only have 2 issues available?
Actually,
for sale?
For various reasons, I couldn't make it last week to the store, so I had a huge selection, and I've only read a small little bit, but I will give a tip of the cap to Aquaman 21. It's still good.
That's cool.
We don't judge you.
I'm just.
I like how you're apologizing for reading it.
Sorry.
I do, and if there's other books for our listeners out there that we didn't talk about, go to our website. We have got a bunch of new reviews that have been put up over this last week, and I do want to give a shout out to
the Drunken Army. Yeah. Like the Kiss Army, the Drunken Army.
Yeah, Scott Keys, Scott Bachman, Eric Owens, Mark Spector, Ruben Mendoza. Am I forgetting somebody else that's done one? I hope not. If I am, I apologize.
Derek will give you his $1,000 if he forgot you.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, thank you guys to for all contributing. Jake, what's your last name? Sorry, I'm going to forget.
He's going to call in right now when you ask that question.
Yeah. Jake Morris, thank you.
Morris, it's Morris.
I knew I was forgetting somebody on there. So, yeah, awesome. We really appreciate your guys contributing to the site, and glad to have you as part of the Drunken family. So, that's everything I got.
That's everything I got.
Kevin?
Sorry, I'm just looking at this one issue of comic that says sex on it. See? Sex.
Yeah. Yeah, I skipped it. Only because,
you skip sex?
Only because the first issue...
I don't know he was able to skip it.
It's not offered. Ouch. Well, I can skip it if I choose not to have it with myself. I get turned down so often, I have to turn myself down. I passed up on issue one of that book, Sex, strictly because it said, first collector's edition, you know.
Come on.
That's like inviting you to buy it. You love that shit.
That's the kiss of death. I mean, now if it would have had that on a holographic cover, fine. I would have been there, you know. Or a holofoil or whatever.
I like how you're choosy about your sex there.
What, you just take it wherever you get it?
Well, if it's the first issue, yeah. I want to be the first one.
That could go so many ways that I'm not even going to touch. So, all right.
Goodbye. Oh, I'm Kevin.
I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
Keep reading those comics, guys, and we'll be back next week.
You guys forgot about Rapist Jim.